सर्वेभ्यो यदा भागं विभज्य स्वयं तप अधिष्ठत वसु वसुदाना दृढरुचि नाभिगुप्ता स्तुत्यव्रता विविक्ता वामदेवा नामाभ्यः तद्विपपतिः
the master of the island
Priyavrata,
the
son of Priyavrata,
Rajan,
O king,
Hiranyareta,
Hiranyareta,
Nama,
name, Swam,
his son,
Dvipam,
island,
Satabhyaha,
unto seven,
Sarutrebhyaha,
his own sons.
Yathabhagam,
according to
division,
vibhajya, dividing,
swayam,
himself,
tabaha
adishtada,
engaged in austerities,
vasu,
unto
vasu,
vasu
dana,
vasu dana,
dridharuchi,
dridharuchi.
Nabhigupta.
Sutyavrata.
Sutyavrata.
Vivikta.
Vivikta.
Vamadeva.
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 Namabhyaha.
Name. Translation. O king, another son of Maharaj Priyavrata, Hiranyareta, was a king of this island. He divided it into seven parts, which he delivered to his seven sons according to the rights of inheritance. The king then retired from family life to engage in austerities. The name of those sons are Vasu, Vasudana, Dridharuchi, Satyaruchi, Nabhigupta, Vivikta and Vamadeva. Tesham Vashushu Srimad Girayo Natya Chabhinyata Satta Sattayvam Chatru Chatru Shingha Kapila Chaitra Chaitra Kuto Devanika Uradharoma Dravina Iti Rasa Kulya Madhu Kulya Mitravinda, Sudivinda, Devagarbha, Ghadachyuta, Mantramaneti. In those seven islands, there are seven boundary mountains known as Chakra, Chatushringa, Kapila, Chitrakuta, Devanika, Urdharoma, and Dravina. There are also seven rivers known as Ramakulya, Madhukulya, Mitravinda, Shrutavinda, Devagarbha, Ghadachyuta and Mantramala. Yasam payobhi kushadvipakausaha kushala kavida bhyukta kulaka satnya bhagavantam jadaveda sarupinam karma kaushalena yajante. The inhabitants of the islands of Kushadeva are celebrated as the Kushalas, Kovidas, Abhyuktas and Kulakas. They are like the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras respectively. By bathing in the waters of those rivers, they will become purified. They are expert in performing ritualistic ceremonies according to the orders or the Vedic scriptures. Thus they worship the Lord in his respective, in his aspect as the demigod of fire. Very important. So thus they worship the Lord in his aspect as the demigod of fire. Next, verse 17. Parasya brahmanasakshat jada vedosi havyavat devana purushangana yajena purusham yajeti. This is the mantra by which the inhabitants of Kushadvip worship the fire god. O fire god, you are as part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari, and you carry to him all the offerings of sacrifices. Therefore, we request you to offer the Supreme Personality of Godhead the yajnik ingredients we are offering the demigods, for the Lord is the real engineer. Purport by President Bhakti Bhaktivinoda Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The demigods are servants who assist the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one worships the demigods as servants of the Supreme, carry the sacrificial offerings to the Lord, like tax collectors collecting revenue from the citizens and bringing it to the government's treasury. The demigods cannot accept the sacrificial offerings. They simply carry the offering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as stated by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasadaha. Since the Guru is a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he carries to the Lord whatever is offered to him. Similarly, all the demigods, as faithful servants of the Supreme Lord, hand over to the Supreme Lord whatever is offered to them in sacrificial performances. There is no fault in worshipping the demigods with this understanding. But to think that the demigods are independent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and equal to him is called hridayajnana, a loss of intelligence. Kamaishtaishte hridayajnana. One who thinks that the demigods themselves are the actual benefactors is mistaken. Om Jnana Tivirantharasya Jnananchana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamakyam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamadam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sahagana Raghunathanyutam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanjana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanasute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vachakalpadarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyati Deshatarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavanda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Bhutair Mahabhir Yaima Purovibhu Nirmaya Shete Adamusha Purusha Bhunte Gunan Shodasha Shodasha Atmaka ಸ್ವಲಂಕೃಷಿಷ್ಟ ಭಗವಾನ್ ವಚಾಂಸಿ ಮೇ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಹರೇ. ವಿ ಆರ್ ಕಂಟಿನ್ಯೂಯಿಂಗ್ ಅವರ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕಷನ್ ಆನ್ ದ ಸ್ಟ್ರಕ್ಚರ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಯೂನಿವರ್ಸ್, ಅಂಡ್ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ವರ್ಷ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ವರ್ಷ ಅಂಡ್ ದ್ವೀಪ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ದ್ವೀಪ ಇನ್ ಭೂಮಂಡಲ. ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಪ್ರೆಸೆಂಟ್ ವೆರಿ ಇಂಟ್ರೆಸ್ಟಿಂಗ್ ಕನ್ಸೆಪ್ಷನ್ಸ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಟೈಮ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಸ್ಪೇಸ್, ಅಂಡ್ ದಟ್ ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡಿಂಗ್ ಈಸ್ ವೆರಿ ವಾಸ್ಟ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಇನ್ಕನ್ಸೀವಬಲ್ ಟು ಅವರ್ ಸೆನ್ಸಸ್. ದೀಸ್ ಟೂ ಆಸ್ಪೆಕ್ಟ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ಕನ್ಸಿಡರ್ಡ್ practically inconceivable even to the modern science, both time and space. I remember trying to understand what is time from a scientific perspective. I read a few books and finally I came to the conclusion that no one knows about it. There are different theories, but no one knows about it. What is time? Unknown. Very, very inconceivable, even if we consider the simplistic definitions come from Newtonian physics, that which is passed between two events. A simple definition of time, very very linear absolute nature of time, then that is shown in a relativistic manner in the later theories. However, it is very unknown what is time, what is the beginning of time. Is there a beginning of time? Interesting actually, because some scientists, they speculate that time started with the Big Bang. Others say time existed before the Big Bang, but no one knows what is Big Bang and what is time. So it's a very unknown entity as such. Everyone knows that it is acting, but what exactly it is, it's very very unknown factor. The time factor, very difficult. Because why it is very difficult to understand? Because it is a subtle aspect of Maya. Material time is a subtle aspect of Maya for external energy of the Lord, and so it is very difficult to comprehend exactly what it is. And from our understanding, indeed, time is eternal. And it presents all the time, you know, it is there all the time, time is there all the time, that is time. And Madhvacharya gives a very interesting... Okay. Madhvacharya gives a very interesting logical proof that time is eternal. Madhvacharya is a very logical person, his commentary is everything is very very logical, very sharp. So Madhvacharya says, if you try to present that there is a beginning of time, so at one point you are saying this is the beginning of time, then you are defining past, present and future. So time has to be eternal. That is his logic. That is a very interesting logic from Madhvacharya, the time. And when it comes to Bhagavatam, yes, there are different aspects of time. And when you see Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam starts with presentation of Sarga. In Sarga, we are talking about the birth of Lord Brahma. So we can see, so the time is starting from that point, of course, the eternal time. But I am saying, in this presentation, there is the birth of Brahma is given. So that the beginning, the first kalpa, Brahma kalpa, Brahma kalpa is given. And where the first, the birth day of Brahma. So that is the beginning. After that, of course, there are many kalpas or many days of Brahma. And within many days of Brahma, there are many manvantaras, as we know. And here, Bhagavatam generally deals with, the Bhagavatam we have, deals with one day of Brahma, primarily. And we can see a progression, not always chronological, but we can see a progression of manvantaras from beginning. For example, third canto, we can hear Swayambhuva Manu, it's all about the Swayambhuva Manvantara. And there is not much mentioned about the second, third, fourth or fifth, straightforward. Names are there, but there are not many past tense given there. Then, Then the major description is from the Chakshusha Manvantara, the sixth Manvantara. And from there, six, it moves to the seventh Manvantara, Vaivashata. But before Vaivashata, in the beginning of the eighth canto, there is a question about Gajendra, how Gajendra got delivered. So then it moves back to Tamasa Manvantara, the fifth Manvantara. So there is only one pastime which is specifically mentioned from the fifth Manvantara, which is the Tamasa Manvantara. And then again moves to the seventh Manvantara onwards. So then we can see the progression of seventh Manvantara, and there we see Lord Ramachandra, and then leading up to the birth of Krishna. In one sense, that is the culmination. So here we can see, yes, there is a very vast and wide understanding of time, and along with that, there is a very vast understanding of space. So that's where we are at in this particular canto, where the living entities are situated. So this is called sthana, or the planetary system, because that's where the living entities are placed. And so yesterday, I think there was a whole presentation about different dvipas and varshas and etc. So I'm not getting into it, but the idea of presenting all these planetary systems is to show that how the Supreme Personality of Godhead is worshipped everywhere throughout the universe. It is showing when the time or space is given, the whole idea of presentation is to show how the Supreme Personality has been worshipped in different periods of time and in different space. So everything is connected to Krishna, and everyone is, or everything that is presented in Srimad Bhagavatam is to remind us of Krishna. So our aim is not to understand the scientific aspects of Bhagavatam. Yes, it can be useful for preaching. To defend Bhagavatam, one has to study, one may understand, that's different. But the ultimate aim is to glorify Krishna and to remember Krishna. So Sanatana Goswami, in his Krishna Leela Sabha towards the end, he mentions Prema Varshi Aksharayate. Prema Varshi Aksharayate. That is his realization of Srimad Bhagavatam. That is, each and every syllable of Srimad Bhagavatam is pouring out the Krishna Prem. Raining, it is raining Krishna Prem. Each and every syllable of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we need to have at least a theoretical understanding or some kind of a consciousness when we are approaching Srimad Bhagavatam. It's very helpful. It's very helpful to see Bhagavatam in that light. Yesterday I was saying this video, when we were watching that video, how Bhagavatam installation ceremony, I think all you sent me, it was very good. I really liked it, because showing, so if you sell a set of Srimad Bhagavatam, they are doing a proper worship of Srimad Bhagavatam, and it is very, very, very felt very happy seeing that, because Bhagavatam is Krishna. In the first canto, two canto, there is legs, and you know, onwards, you know, his smiling face is 10th canto, and his forehead is 11th canto, and his crown is 12th canto. And you know, the whole sequence is given, and there is a beautiful mantra actually describing the same thing, and doing arati to Srimad Bhagavatam. So Bhagavatam can be worshipped, and of course the ultimate worship of Bhagavatam is studying and applying in our life and presenting to others. But at the same time, worship is important. Bhagavatam is very important. So the whole purpose of Bhagavatam is to remind us of Krishna and to help engage us in Krishna service. Now, in this particular purport, Srila Prabhupada presents what is the proper worship of demigods. So today we will look into three aspects. One, why demigod worship is condemned. Second, the proper worship of demigods. And third, what we have to do after knowing all these things. Okay. The first is, why demigod worship is condemned. So in this, I will present a few points. To start with, one day I was in India, and one devotee asked me, he's a preacher, and also he's heading a place. So he asked me, people are asking us, why do you condemn demigod worship when Bhagavad Gita is presenting demigod worship? Why you Iskon people are condemning demigod worship? Bhagavad Gita presents demigod worship. So that is one point. Second is, we need to have mature understanding of demigod worship. And this purport actually helps us to come to that matured understanding of demigod worship. Why? That comes to the third point, that we had to be very sensitive in condemning demigod worship. There is a way to do it. We had to be very sensitive. We cannot be just harsh and rude. And we cannot take out whatever negative feeling we have. We had a bad day. You know, we want to give everything out. So don't, we cannot take this as an opportunity to let go. One has to be very mature in presenting the problem with the demigod worship. And don't think that demigod worship is not a problem for us. Okay, we may think. One thing, we are situated here in the temple, staying here in the temple or along the devotees. Demigod worship is not a problem for us. We have heard it so many times. Second, I am not from India. I don't have any background of demigod worship. So, why is it relevant at all in my life? So, we will look into these different aspects when it comes to the demigod worship. Yes, coming to the first point. Yes, indeed. Bhagavad Gita speaks about demigod worship. Third chapter. You know, very nicely present. Demigod worship. Devan bhavayantena. Yo devo bhavayantuva. Parasparam bhavayanta. Shrayat param avapsyata. So Krishna says, yes. The deal between the living entities and the demigods. You worship demigods. You satisfy the demigods. And they are in turn going to satisfy you. You offer sacrifice. And they are going to satisfy you. Yes, which is true. But at the same time, we need to know very clearly that that is only a preliminary statement in Karmakanda. And Bhagavad Gita is not about such ritualistic exchanges between the living entities and the demigods. So that's where the yoga starts. That's why there are different yogas. And there are so many explicit statements in Bhagavad Gita rejecting demigod worship. Yes? We can hear, what is the classic one?
Kama
is tested, Hidatnyana, Prabandhyante, Anya Devata. This purport also is given. What is the other statement?
If you have
Hidat,
then you have.
Yeah, AP Anya, 9th chapter. What is that? Bhajanti Avidhipurvakam. Avidhipurvakam. It is an illegitimate worship, Avidhipurvakam. The Kama is tested, Hidatnyana gives the full understanding of what demigod worship. And in terms of destination also makes it clear. Devan Devejo Yanti Madhukta Yanti Mahapri. So there are several statements. And also rejecting the materialistic aspect of Vedas, Trigunya Vishaya Veda. So there are many statements, we know that. So we have to be very clear when we understand this point. So one should be confused, because the devotee himself was a bit confused. Bhagavad Gita is speaking about demigod worship, and now why are we so against demigod worship? So then we have to understand that, okay, Shastra, everything is given, and at the same time we have to be mature in presenting this. So what are the problems in worshipping the demigods? Of course, we can establish the supremacy of Krishna, but at the same time, what are the core issues in worshipping the demigods? Because it is the mentality that is being condemned here. So, the whole presentation is not condemning the demigods. It's not a personal agenda. We have something against the demigods, or grudge against the demigods. And sometimes our presentation can be like that. So, we have to be very sensitive in this regard. It is just the mentality. And what kind of mentality is that? That is a materialistic mentality that one carries. So, that is condemned. Because demigod worship is only on the platform of dharma, artha and kama. Religiosity, material economic development and sense gratification. It just falls into this category, and that's why it's a problem. So even if one becomes a devotee of a demigod, maximum one can go to the demigod path. So one is still trapped in the material world. As interestingly mentioned in Sri Shobhanishad. Well, they go to the darkest region. Darkest region of existence. Because the whole material world is compared to a coconut. In Ishavanishad, that purport, you can read that. Coconut. So, the coconut is dark. So, the whole material world is dark, because without the sun, there is no light here. So just going to upper or lower planetary system, it is just going here and there, that is still one is captured in this material world. And so that mentality is condemned. And the demigods are not really condemned. I'm not really condemn the demigods themselves because they are doing their duties as servants of Krishna. As you can read here, it is nicely presented. Then if one worships the demigod, one's consciousness is not purified of material desires. So generally there is a general elevation, but one is not really purified of material desires. And there are classic examples. Ravana worshipped Lord Shiva. And then after that, what happened? Did he get purified? No, he didn't get purified. Rather, he kidnapped Mother Sita. So that's what happened. Instead of worshipping the Lord, okay, didn't worship the Lord, actually don't give trouble to the Lord. That's it. But indeed, he kidnapped Mother Sita. So this is exactly opposite to worshipping the Supreme Lord even with the material desires. So there's a clear difference. Many people ask, if you worship the Lord Krishna with material desires, is it similar to demigod worship? It is not, because there is purification. In the previous chapter of same canto, 19th chapter, there is a very important verse, very famous verse. Satyam drishati arthidam arthidoyatha naivarthidoyat punar arthidoyataha swayam vidhatte bhajatam anichatam icchabhidhanam nijapada pallavam. If you go to Krishna with material desires, he will certainly fulfill your material desires, if he thinks so. If he desires, he will fulfill your material desires, but he will fulfill the material desires of his devotees in such a way that that devotee will never ask for that material desire again. This is the mercy of Krishna. We can reflect in our own life or who are around us. Those who desire material things, we can see Krishna indeed fulfill those material desires, but the Lord will give such a realization that that devotee will never ask for the same thing again. He will think, I got it, but I am completely dissatisfied. This is the realization that one gets. Think about this. I ask for the material desire, I want such and such thing. Krishna will give, no problem. But Krishna will also give the realization that I got this, but still it is material and still I am dissatisfied. Krishna will give that for sure. 100% Krishna will give that realization for his devotees. So it is better not to ask for material things. That's why the prayers of Dho Maharaj is prayers of lamentation. What did I do? Why did I worship you with material desires? So he is lamenting in front of the Lord. So we don't want to lament. So better not ask for material desires. We request Krishna, material desires may come to my mind, but please help me to get rid of it. Please help me transcend those material desires. So in that way, we can go higher. So there's a clear difference, the purificatory aspect of worshipping Krishna. So demigods are not disconnected to Krishna, but demigod worship is disconnected to Krishna. The improper demigod worship is disconnected to Krishna because one is not really acknowledging the Supreme Lord, and they themselves are baddha. They themselves are bound, and one bound person cannot free another bound person. So that's why the demigod worship is a problem. And next point is, demigods are great devotees. Especially if you read this prayer of the residents to the demigod, very amazing, and this purport is mentioned. They are great devotees, but the demigod worshippers are not approaching the demigods as devotees. They are great devotees, but one approaches them according to their functional roles and responsibilities. I often give the example of going to a bank and going to the teller, and if you give the check, if you sign it properly and give the checkbook, you will get the money. Because it is his duty to give you the money, even though the right check is if he has a balance, he'll give you the money. But that doesn't mean that that person has only capacity to give you money. He has his own life, right? The banker, he may have other talent, he may be a great person, he may be a great singer, maybe this or that. He may have his own qualities apart from his duty at this point. So, if you approach demigods as demigods, without connecting to Krishna, then you will get that level. You cannot get anything higher. Whereas, if you approach demigods as the servants of Krishna, then they can help you. So, there are examples where the demigods acted as spiritual masters, especially Lord Shiva. So, that's a different thing altogether. And coming to the next point, Srila Prabhupada often says, bhakti is only meant for Krishna. This is a very important point. If you go to India, people say bhakti. Bhakti, Ganesh bhakti, Shiva bhakta. But Prabhupada very clearly states that bhakti is not for demigod, bhakti is only for Krishna. Because the root bhaj, he explains in 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 47th verse purport. Bhaj includes service, and service is only for Krishna. Because he is the ultimate benefactor. And so, bhajati and bhakti is only for Krishna. For that reason, when Srila Rupa Goswami, when he named Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he didn't name it as Krishna Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Or Anya Blashida Shunyam Jnana Garmadhyana Avrutam Anikuitena Krishna Nishina Bhakti Ruttama. Well, there is no explicit mention of Krishna Bhakti. Bhakti Ruttama. And book is also Bhakti. That's enough. That implies that it is Krishna Bhakti. So when you actually speak about Bhakti, it is for Krishna. So we need to understand, after knowing all this, we can know that there is a clear reason why we cannot do the demigod worship. You know, that is independent to Krishna. And at the same time, when we are preaching this, we have to be very careful. That is, we are not against demigod, but we are against the mentality behind the demigod worship. Because that is destroying oneself by increasing one's life span in this material world. We had to judge the audience. I remember one time I was giving a lecture and I told pretty much there was a person who is new. Worshipping demigods is like catching the tail of a dog to cross the ocean. It's actually a statement from Prabhupada. It's a bona fide statement, but we have to be sensitive to the audience. If there are new people, so immediately they will equate. It's only an analogy. Immediately they will think that you are saying that the demigod is a dog. So that will become very offended. Actually, the statement is actually not offensive. It is comparing how it is not possible to cross the ocean of material suffering by the help of demigods, because that is not their capacity, it's not their cup of tea, it's not possible. But when we make such kind of statement, insensitively there can be problem. The person immediately got offended. I still remember, this happened at least 15 years back. Still I remember, the person immediately got offended. So we had to be very sensitive when we present this, to slowly coming to the conclusions. Otherwise, people may not accept. They may feel that we are just fanatics. So we have to explain slowly, depending on the audience. And next is, even we think, okay, this demigod worship is not at all a problem for me, which is true. Now I am living in the ashram, or many devotees staying around, may not be a serious problem, demigod worship. But as soon as one goes to India, it becomes a serious problem. You spend extended time with extended families, then you will find that demigod worship is a problem. You cannot avoid. You have to be very careful not to worship the demigods. And I have heard, even initiated devotees having trouble with this. And there are so many justifications for that. In my place, people go to pilgrimage to one place, Shabarimala. So, the demigod is bona fide or not, that is also questionable. We don't know exactly. And even people who are initiated, they are having trouble. Not, you know, they are telling, you know, we have to go to the demigod because it is a habit. Old habits die hard. Very difficult. We have to go. And there is another kind of maya, that is such and such person is our Kula Devata. And if we don't worship Kula Devata, we will worship Krishna, we will chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra, 16 rounds, everything is okay. But Kula Devata, whatever share we had to give, we had to worship. If we don't, there will be some curse will fall upon our family and kids. So how can we do that? How can we take that risk? So we had to worship the Kula Devata or the family deity. It's a problem. And even initiated devotees go through this problem. So we are not really very far away from demigod worship. Don't think that it is very, very far. If we are in the right atmosphere, right environment, it can actually come to our mind. After all, it's okay, I understand it. Everything is okay, we'll just do it. So we have to be very careful. Or here also there are very nice temples around worshipping demigods. And one can think, why not go there and spend some time? What's wrong? After all, we know the philosophy. And we know that we will never get deviated. So then, why not? So, this kind of things can come to our mind. And if such thoughts come to our mind, it is deviation from the pure devotional standards. So we have to be very mindful. And those who are not from Bharatvarsha, in that sake. Is it a problem? Demigod worship is a problem? Yes, it may not be a problem because many people don't even accept there is a Shiva or a Brahma. So what's the problem in, you know, worshipping? That question doesn't come to the mind. But the problem is that mentality is still a problem. If we think that my boss is maintaining me, if I had to please the boss in all respects, independent of Krishna, that's actually a mentality of demigod worship. Or I have such and such music star or movie star or whatever. If one has that kind of feeling towards such a person, that is similar mentality as a demigod worship. Seeing independently, in an unbonafide way though. So you have to be careful, such kind of mentalities. And here, this purport is speaking about the proper worship of demigods, because this verse is speaking about the proper worship of demigods. So this is a very classic example of proper worship of demigods. So see here, O fire god, you are part of the Supreme Lord Sanjay god at Hari. First, the Sambandha is established. You are part of Krishna. Clear? Then, and you carry to him all the offerings of the sacrifices. It's actually a very important point that the fire is considered as the tongue of Vishnu. Fire is considered the tongue of Vishnu. So how Vishnu eats? Through the tongue, right? When you taste, through the tongue. So that's why fire accepts all the ingredients in the Vedic sacrifices. For the Lord. And the Lord is the ultimate benefactor. He enjoys that. He is the bhokta. But at the same time, it is through the agency of the fire. And that is mentioned here. Therefore, we request you to offer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead the unique ingredients we are offering the demigods. For the Lord is the real enjoyer. See? So they are very clear. Whatever you are offering to you, O fire god, you give to Krishna. So this is the proper worship of the demigods. It's a very classic example. There is another example in Srimad Bhagavatam of proper worship of demigods. Who can tell that? Another king, that's a clue. Usually kings does this kind of worship. So another king, a pure Bharat devotee.
Eh?
Yes, Bharat Maharaj. Good. Bharat Maharaj worshipped the demigods as the different limbs of the universal form. So, for him, the connection was very clear. And when he was a king, he worshipped the demigods in the proper way. And that's why we can see in the early age itself, he renounced and started performing bhakti. Of course, we know the total episode, what happened later, going through different lifetime. But Bharat Maharaj performed proper demigod worship. Similarly, if you see in Orissa, in Bhuvaneshwar, there is a famous temple of Lingaraj. Have you been to Lingaraj temple? Very nice temple. Very nice temple. Very ancient temple. In front of that there is Bindusar Lake. Very historic place. And if you go there, by the side of that lake, there is Ananta Vasudev temple. Remember? Ananta Vasudev temple. It's a small temple. Lingaraj is a very big Shiva temple. But Ananta Vasudev temple is a smaller temple. But The point is, of course, why Lingaraj is there? Because Bhuvaneswar is the entrance to Puri. So he is the Dwarapalak. He is guarding, just like the spiritual world. First we had to go through Sadashiv, go to the Vaikuntha Loka and then Gauranga Vrindavan. Similarly, if you want to go to an abode of the Lord, first you had to go to Shiva. So similarly, Guruvayur, there is Mamyur Shiva, then there is Guruvayur temple. Wherever you go, there is the Lord Shiva and Dhameshwar, you know, Dhameshwar Mahadev. So similarly, Lord Shiva is present and Ananta Vasudeva is there. So there also the proper worship used to take place. Now it is questionable. First they used to offer bhoga to Ananta Vasudeva and that prasadam they used to offer to Lingaraj. So that is actually the proper worship, that is the proper standard. I doubt whether still that tradition exists, but that was the standard before. First offer to Vasudeva, Krishna, and then to Lord Shiva. So these are examples of proper worship of the demigods, which is not against the religious principle. It's not against our pure path of bhakti. It's not against. It is in line with that. There is another example who visited demigod temples from our line. Who is that? Exactly. He is none other than Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. That is very, very interesting. I will read out a few pastimes in that regard. Lord Chaitanya's travel through holy places in South India. It's very interesting. I will not get into the details, but I will mention something which is relevant at this point. It is mentioned that Lord Chaitanya's travel through South India is very significant due to multiple reasons. One, he could demonstrate the power which he had never exhibited before in his South Indian trip. The reason is, in Mayapur Navadvip, he was primarily dealing with the devotees. Jagannath Puri also, he was primarily dealing with the devotees, with exception of Sarvabhattacharya and here and there some Mayavadis, but primarily he was dealing with the devotees. So in his travel to South India, he got the opportunity to exhibit his power of converting millions and millions of people to devotees. So he had a power, very good preaching ground to show his strength. So Lord Chaitanya got an opportunity to preach to all different kinds of people in a massive scale in South India. So that was his preaching trip to South India, of course, along with visiting the holy place. That is one significant. Second, Lord Chaitanya is known to purify the entire universe. Not just Bharatvarsha, not like that. He has purified the entire different planetary systems. But how did he do that? He did that by his travel to South India. Because many demigods, they took part in the pastime. They got the association of Lord Chaitanya and they became pure devotees and they could purify other places. So Lord Chaitanya's preaching was very simple. He would go to the middle of the village and there will be chanting and dancing. Mahaprabhu will chant and dance and the whole village would assemble. They will encircle Mahaprabhu. They will see Mahaprabhu chanting and dancing, and just by seeing that, all of them became pure devotees of Krishna. And when such a pure devotee, when one such person goes and meet other people, they all become pure devotees. So you can imagine the kind of preaching that was taking place. So he was making pure devotees after pure devotees, you know, the millions of them throughout South India. So this was the scene that was taking place by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And as he was traveling, he reached Kanchi. The Kanchi is very significant. The Kanchi has two parts. One is Shiva Kanchi and Vishnu Kanchi. The Shiva Kanchi is known as the Banaras, Varanasi of South India. Because such a prominent worship of Lord Shiva, because Varanasi is primarily Kashi, Banaras is known for Lord Shiva worship. Similarly, Kanchi is known as the Banaras of South India. So he went to Kanchi, and certainly he went and visited Lord Shiva. He worshipped Lord Shiva in that way. And as he went there, he converted all Shiva Bhaktas to Krishna Bhaktas. By the influence of Lord Chaitanya, they all got converted into Krishna Bhaktas. So we can see the influence of Mahaprabhu. He was naturally converting the demigod worshippers into worshippers of Lord Krishna in the highest capacity. And then of course he visited Vishnu Kanchi. He went to Vishnu temples. Then from there, he went to Pakshitirtha. There also he visited Lord Shiva temple. One may mistake Lord Chaitanya just like another Hindu. Like Hindu, general Hindu tradition is just go to all the temples. Doesn't matter. Whichever temple goes there, whether Durga, Shiva, Ganesh, Vishnu, Krishna, doesn't matter. Or Baba. Doesn't matter, just go and visit any temple. That is the tradition. So it can look like Mahaprabhu, was he doing that? Not really. He understood, he was giving mercy to everyone. And he was giving mercy even to the demigods by visiting their place. So it is mentioned after that he even visited Durga temple. So he went to visit the temple of Shiali Bhairavi temple. Shiali Bhairavi. So Bhairavi is Durga Devi. Right? Even he went to Durga Devi temple, and there also he worshipped her, and all the demigods were very happy to see Lord Chaitanya in person. It is such a rare occurrence to see the Lord directly. And certainly he visited other Shiva temple, but there is a very interesting thing happened. That is, Lord Shiva and Mother Parvati assumed the form of a Brahmana and a Brahmani. They came in the form of Brahmana and Brahmani, and then gave some donation, charity to Lord Chaitanya. So, understand? So they came as Grihastha Brahmanas, and after coming as Grihastha Brahmanas, they gave donation, charity to Mahaprabhu, because Mahaprabhu is a sannyasi, whereas here Lord Shiva and Parvati, they are Grihastha. So gave charity, and then Lord Shiva invited Mahaprabhu, please come to our residence. It is mentioned Lord Chaitanya spent 3 days in the residence, and they had confidential talks. Of course, the confidential talks about Krishna. And see, so this is the real position of demigods. This is the real position of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva got personal association of Mahaprabhu as well. So they are great devotees. So that we need to understand. And Mahaprabhu was very merciful to convert demigod worshippers into Krishna worshippers, and also to give mercy to Lord Shiva and Parvati personally in Sri Shaila, and spending 3 days with them. So this is Mahaprabhu's mercy. Similarly, there is another interesting incident of Srila Prabhupada. We discussed this pastime recently in our Bhaktivedanta class. Srila Prabhupada along with his followers visited a Durga temple. So devotees were concerned what Prabhupada is going to do, because now he is going to Durga temple. Is he going to worship Durga Devi? Is he going to preach against Durga? What is he going to do? So then Srila Prabhupada, he went and he paid obeisances to Durga Devi. And it was for a surprise of everyone. They were thinking, how can Prabhupada pay obeisances to Durga Devi? And then had the preaching session and came out, and everyone was very happy. All the worshippers, everyone was very happy with Srila Prabhupada. And then they asked Srila Prabhupada, are you actually worshipping demigod? Are you worshipping Durga Devi when you paid obeisances? He said, look, I paid obeisances with my right to Durga Devi. And what does that mean? My right is to Durga Devi, left is for Krishna, and straight is for Guru. So as I was paying obeisances, on my right is Durga Devi, on my left I am paying obeisances to Lord Krishna, and in forward, in front is the spiritual master. So this is how we worship the different personalities. So when you pay obeisances to Krishna, Krishna is on our left. And if you pay obeisances to demigods, demigod should be on the right. And if you're paying obeisance to Guru, the best way to pay obeisance to Guru is straight. Not from side, straight to Guru. So this is the Shastric recommendation. So Prabhupada said, I worship my Guru, worship Krishna, and of course the demigod, because as a servant of Krishna. So we can see how Prabhupada was very careful in respecting the demigod, but not engaging in demigod worship as such. So we had to learn from this, how Srila Prabhupada conducted himself. Of course, the demigods are great devotees. They can act as gurus. We have a classic example of Lord Shiva acting as the guru of Prachetas. The 10 Prachetas, they worshipped Lord Shiva and he acted as the guru, gave the Krishna mantra. So that is the position of the demigods. So they are indeed great personalities and we cannot have any negative feeling towards the demigod as such. Even though we may reject demigod worship, but we accept the position of the demigods. So now come to the point that yes, demigods are great devotees and there is a proper way of worshipping the demigods. So can we worship the demigods in a proper way all the time? Can we just go to the demigod worship? Oh, we know how to worship the demigod. Can we go to the demigod temple? Or can we have demigods in our temple? So here we have to be very careful because we understand the philosophy. But if you start going to the demigod temple, what will happen? Slowly, material desires will come. We hear some glories of the demigod. The Lord is Ashutosh Kshipra Prasadi Bhagavan. Who is that Lord Shiva? Immediately you'll get pleased. So we'll hear this kind of things, and it doesn't matter, I can do one puja for the demigod. With the right mentality, but back of the mind, if my desire gets satisfied, it will be very good because I am going through such and such trouble. So one has to be very careful not to get into this kind of mentality. And so, Srila Prabhupada didn't want Ganesh to be worshipped in our temples. Because in Nectar Devotion, in Items of Worship, it is mentioned. One has to worship Ganesh before any other puja, any other worship. But we don't do that. Instead, we have Lord Narasimhadev. Because he is the shelter of even Lord Ganesh. So, understanding that we only have Ganesh and we can easily be deviated. Very easily be deviated. So, we don't do that. We have to be very mindful. Even if we understand what is the right way of accepting the demigods and respecting them, still, we don't engage in that. Even in the right mentality, because we can easily be deviated. So that is a very important take home point for all of us. And finally, they are acting as a spiritual masters, as is mentioned. The demigods, they offer whatever they receive to the Supreme Lord. So that is the mood of a spiritual master. Prabhupada often gives the example, he also gives the example of tax collector. Collect the tax from everyone, give to the government. Prabhupada said, I am like a tax collector, I am collecting obeisances from everyone and then giving to my spiritual master. So this is one of the important way one can deal with respect and worship. If somebody is respecting or glorifying, we have to accept and give it to the spiritual master. Don't take it for ourselves. If we take it for ourselves, we will get degraded. So we cannot reject. We have to take it and give it to the right source. Because whatever we have, it is by the mercy of the spiritual master, literally, and the devotees and Prabhupada. So we had to pass it on. That is the right mood of the spiritual master. So we had to imbibe that as well. I remember this account from Atmadatta Prabhu in one of the videos, remembering Srila Prabhupada, that he mentioned when he met Srila Prabhupada for the first time, Guru Puja was going on and Guru Vandanam was going on. So devotees were chanting Sri Guru Paramaparava. Sri Guru Charna Padma Kevala Bhakti Satma. And then he saw Prabhupada also chanting. So he had met with different spiritual masters. They are all like Mayavadis. They all considered themselves as Guru, as God. So here he saw even Prabhupada was also chanting Sri Guru Charna Padma. So he asked other devotees, why is it so? Why is he also chanting the same Guru Vandana? He said, he is offering to his spiritual master. We are offering to Prabhupada and Prabhupada is offering to his spiritual master. He said, at that point I got convinced that, okay, Srila Prabhupada is a real spiritual master. So the mood of the real spiritual master. So we can understand all this from here. And yes, now Radhashtami is coming in a couple of days, so we can meditate on that mood of Srimati Radharani, offering everything to Krishna, accepting everyone's service and encouraging everyone to move towards Krishna. So with this I conclude and see if there are any questions or comments. Yes, sir.
Initially you were mentioning that the issue is only with mentality.
Yes.
The demigod of worshippers. And then later of course you explained it. You know, when someone hears that the problem is with the mentality in worshipping demigod. Initially you were speaking about the mentality of demigod worshippers, but later of course you explained it. So when someone hears some demigod worshippers, they hear that okay, this the mentality is the issue. So what is the probability or chance for them to fix their mentality towards the demigod and then it's acceptable? If they fix their mentality.
Then when they become devotees of Krishna, their mentality is fixed.
For demigod, I'm saying.
Eh?
Towards the demigods.
Yeah. When they become devotees of Krishna, their mentality towards demigod will be fixed. That's the only way.
So basically you are saying that there is no devotional service done for, can be possible for demigods.
You can offer to give to Krishna. Exactly the same verse. We are offering to you, please offer this to Krishna. So the demigod worship mentality can be corrected by they becoming devotees of Krishna. If you want to actually worship demigod in a proper way, one has to be a devotee of Krishna. Then one can offer the prasadam to the demigod. That's the proper way of worshiping demigods. Even some devotees may have Lord Shiva in the altar. But they offer to Krishna and then offer it to Lord Shiva. Like, that is the proper way of doing it. So there is no other adjusting the mentality. It's not possible. That's why becoming devotee of Krishna, one can have the proper attitude towards Krishna and demigods.
So another thing, is there any reason mentioned why Prabhupada paid obeisance from his right side to the demigods to lower it? Any specific reason is there? And why left side to Krishna?
Reason, it is general injunction, but I don't know the reason behind the injunction. We know that we don't pay straight to Krishna because of the obvious reason. Because in general, Vishnu or Krishna temple, there will be Garuda. So we don't want to show our feet to the Vaishnava Shrestha. For us, we don't have Garuda, but we have Srila Prabhupada, the same place as the Vaishnava Shrestha. And so we don't show feet to the Lord. But this direction, I really don't know. Anyone knows the reason? The right, left, intricacy.
I don't remember they said that the left side is because the heart is there.
Okay.
And you will put the heart to Krishna.
Okay, that's interesting. Yes.
And the right side is respect.
Yes, yes, very good. That's a nice one. That is okay. Left is our heart, heart to Krishna. Yes. Nice meditation.
Thank you. We have an online question.
Mm-hmm.
Humans have a tendency to fall for someone who is more powerful than them. So we have the problem of accepting everything which is more powerful than us. How do we address this problem of falling for all the powers and how do we identify the supreme powerful?
Yeah, we need some knowledge. Read Prabhupada books and hear lectures. That is the solution. If we keep hearing, then we will understand who is the all-powerful. And if we stop hearing, problem starts. And then keep chanting. We do this thing, then we will be reminded.
I think the question is more related to people outside of Buddha. So he is saying if we fix this problem, then they can identify the
Supreme. Yeah, so we need to give them knowledge. So we try to preach them. This. What else can we do?
Krishna's people understand Krishna's people.
Okay. Alright then. Thank you very much. Granthasya Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.